Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, Happy New Year. I hope that you had a nice celebration last evening. I hope that it was a God-honoring time. That doesn't mean you can't have a party. Doesn't mean you can't celebrate. It's wonderful to rejoice in the fact that God has given us a new year. New opportunities lie before us. The privilege of serving Him and knowing Him. But as I look back to my childhood, we used to have what we called watch night services. And the idea was that the people of God gathered together at church, sometimes in homes, and we would have time of prayer. People would share testimonies of God's faithfulness throughout the year. There'd usually be a reading and meditation from the Scriptures, and possibly even some songs sung. But the bulk of the time, especially as midnight drew near, was spent in prayer. Prayers of confession, prayers of worship and adoration, prayers of petition, asking God to save the lost, asking God to bless those who are engaged in missions around the world, asking God to work in our lives in order to make us the people that He wants us to be, lives that would honor Him, and asking that in the new year, we would walk with faithfulness before Him. I don't know if that's how you spent your evening. I'll tell you, our church didn't have a watch night service simply because of the circumstances within our congregation as far as folks living a distance from where we meet and families being out of town and that sort of thing. We're a small flock to begin with. But I want you to know that wherever you were, God was there with you, and I hope that your behavior was honoring to Him, and that if it wasn't, you won't just apologize, asking His forgiveness, but that you'll realize you missed out on something better, and that was to spend some time reflecting on the faithfulness of God and looking toward the future as an opportunity to honor and serve Him. One of the things I encounter a lot in dealing with young adults particularly, sometimes people who are younger than adult, and sometimes people who have been adults for quite a while, but especially as I deal with young adults who are sort of setting the course and deciding, what does God want me to do? As they talk with me about how to know the will of God, how can I be sure what God wants me to do? It begins in James 1 with being willing to do whatever God says. James 1 tells us that if anyone lacks wisdom, we can ask God, who will give generously and not make us feel foolish for having asked. God generously gives wisdom, but it's to those who are not double-minded. It says, be sure you're not a double-minded person. Because the double-minded person is unstable in all his ways, and he's not going to receive direction from the Lord. What is that talking about? Well, it means if you want to know what God wants, but you're not sure you want to do what God wants, you're a double-minded person. On the one hand, God, please tell me what you think I ought to do. Wow, thanks, God. I'll take that under advisement. If your idea is that you'd like God's input, but then you're going to be the master who makes the decisions, don't expect a lot of input from God. God tells us that the way to know His will is to be willing to do His will, to be prepared to to do whatever God says. So we want to know God's will, not simply to be informed, but to be obedient. And that's where it starts. I would urge you, as you begin this new year, write God a blank check. Tell him that you are willing to do whatever he says, to go wherever he sends, to serve as he says serve, and as he showed us how to serve, which was taking a towel and washing his disciples' feet. So be willing to do whatever God tells you to do. Be willing to forsake whatever sin he points out in your life. Be willing to embrace whatever task he calls you to. And then the second thing that I would tell you is not only be willing to do whatever God says, but do what he's already said. Oftentimes, when people are seeking to know the will of God, they feel like, you know, I'm just coming up blank. I've offered God these two options. I've said, you know, would you like me to do this or would you like me to do this? I don't know which one. You tell me, I'll do whichever one it is. Well, don't forget, it may not be one of those two options. It may be that you're offering God a menu of your design. And you're saying, God, anything on this list I'm willing to do. That's not writing God a blank check. Begin by saying, God, you fill in what you want me to do, and I'll do whatever it is. Well, if you really are willing to do whatever he says, and you're not getting direction that you recognize, then pray and say, God, show me if there's something you've already revealed, something you've already told me to do that I'm not doing. Well, is it possible that in your life there's something like that? Let me read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 what the Apostle Paul tells us, all of us, that we can count on as being part of God's will for our lives. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. And may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Now, right in the middle of that passage, we have this line, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Folks, when we read the scriptures and there are commands in the word that are for us, if we're not doing those things, then we shouldn't expect God to give us a bunch of other directions. Why should he have to send a personalized message just for you, just for me, when we're ignoring the general messages that are for all of us? We're special. But we're not that special. The fact of the matter is, all of us are commanded by God to do these things. And if you just zero in on verses 16 through 18, it would be enough to keep you busy. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, again, that's not all he says. In the verses before it, he talks about respecting those who are working in ministry, hold them in the highest regard, live in peace with each other, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. How are you doing on that score? Be patient with everyone. Are you doing that? Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. Always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. How are you doing with that? Now, I would submit it might be good for you to put this as a little poster on your wall. It might be a good thing to have some of these verses around your house on mirrors and on the refrigerator and on the dashboard of your car. Be patient with everyone. Wouldn't that be a good thing to have on the dashboard? Be patient with everyone. I need that. I need that reminder. I need to know that when I get stuck in traffic, it's because God has a perfect plan for my life. It's not just the adversary blocking me. It is, in fact, God working out his purpose. And maybe there are some things he wants to talk with me about while I'm sitting still. Be patient with everyone. But then in verse 16, be joyful always. Some of you who are listening to this are saying, that is impossible for me. I cannot do that. I can't control my emotions. Well, it doesn't say feel joyful. It says be joyful. Joy is not just a feeling. It is so much more. You can choose to be joyful, even when you're not feeling good. I have known some of the dearest saints who suffered horribly with physical pain and very trying circumstances in their life. And yet in the midst of their suffering, they had embraced the truth of God's love. And therefore, they were joyful in the midst of suffering, in the midst of sorrow. They had joy because it wasn't about how they felt, and it didn't mean that they never cried. It meant that in the midst of it all, they knew the truth. They had the light even when it was dark outside. And so they chose a mindset and a lifestyle and a viewpoint that transformed the situation. People like me would come to try and comfort them, and we would come away encouraged, uplifted, because God lived through them. I'm telling you, it's been a joy in my life to see the joy in the lives of others, even as they went through suffering, even as they endured hardship. Not only people who had been through trials, but people who were going through trials. You take a person like Johnny Erickson Tada, who radiates the joy of the Lord. She doesn't do it because her circumstances are comfortable. She does it because she knows the truth. She believes the truth. And she chooses to rejoice in the Lord. The same Apostle Paul, who suffered so much himself, who was beaten, who was stoned, who was imprisoned, who knew what it was to be shipwrecked and adrift in the water. He chose joy. And he says to us in the letter to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. You can choose joy. So don't think when it says be joyful always that God is telling you how to feel. He's telling you what to do. Be joyful. Pray continually. That doesn't mean you have to walk around the house mumbling under your breath. It means that you are in an attitude of prayer. You're in conversation with the Lord all the time. Wherever you go, you're learning, you're cultivating a sense of his presence. You're aware that he's with you. I mentioned at the start of this broadcast that wherever you were last night, the Lord was there with you. I don't know if you paid much attention to him, but he was there with you. He's with you right now as you're listening to this broadcast. Whether you're driving a big rig or whether you're fixing up some food in the kitchen, whatever is going on, God's there with you. And you need to be in conversation with him. You need to be seeking to hear what he says, what he's saying to you right now, and then responding to him, agreeing, yes, Lord, verily, it's translated in the King James, truly, truly. That word is the same as amen, amen, may it be so. We need to be listening for the Spirit of God, believing the Word of God, trusting the plan of God. And therefore, when it says pray continually, it's talking about a lifestyle of prayer, not just something you do before meals, though you certainly ought to thank God for your food, but all the time, wherever you go. I remember as a little boy, my dad would always pray as we headed out on a car ride somewhere. And I was absolutely fascinated that my dad could drive with his eyes closed. And finally, one day I asked him, you know, how do you do that? And he said, what do you mean? I said, how do you drive with your eyes closed? And he said, I don't have my eyes closed. And I was just shocked. I thought you had to close your eyes to pray. Because my parents, wanting to teach me to block out distractions, would say, okay, bow your head and close your eyes and let's pray. So I thought that was what everybody did. And when Dad started praying, I'd close my eyes and I assumed his eyes were closed too. No, you can't pray continually if you had to keep your eyes closed all the time. The Bible says watch and pray, so feel free to keep your eyes open. But the reason people close their eyes sometimes to pray is just to block out other things, to be able to focus. And if that helps you, that's fine. But you better learn to pray with your eyes open, or you won't be able to pray continually. The Bible tells us in verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 5, pray continually. And then in verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. This recognizes that our circumstances are going to vary. Sometimes our circumstances are going to be great. Some of you had a great year last year, and you're starting into the new year full of optimism. Some of you are so thrilled about the new tax bill that got passed. Finally, finally, tax reform. And you're just ecstatic because now your taxes are going to be lower. Others of you are heartsick because of the new tax bill. It's the same thing that has made some people happy has made other people fearful and discouraged. I know people who run ministries that are very, very concerned that the fact that a lot of people now won't be itemizing means they're not going to be giving as much. Let me just tell you something. My confidence is in the Lord. I don't know what the future holds, but I know that God holds the future. He's in charge. He's got the situation well in hand. There, in the words of Corrie ten Boom, there's never a panic in heaven. I remember getting to know Corrie years ago when I was a teenager and she was visiting Montreat and she spent time in our home and I had the privilege of driving her from one place to another. And in the midst of getting to know her and having multiple conversations, she was so reassuring. She was one of those people who had suffered so greatly, and yet she radiated the joy of the Lord. And she helped me learn to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. Because sometimes your circumstances are going to be really tough. And if you were just going by how things look and how things feel, you would not give thanks. But go back, read the book of Job, you'll realize that your circumstances are not as tough as his, and that he modeled for us what it is to trust God no matter what's going on. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on and he says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Now that's a worthwhile phrase for our culture. Avoid every kind of evil. Not just certain kinds of evil. You know, they tell stories about the Western frontier in the cowboy days and a guy who admitted that he had stolen, lied, cheated, and he said, but I never stole another man's horse. You know, he drew the line there. You and I might laugh at that, but be tempted to have the same mindset. We think as long as we don't do this or as long as we don't do that, then it's okay for us to do the other things that we know we really shouldn't do. Avoid every kind of evil. And may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. I want to zero in for just a moment on that phrase, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned earlier watch night services. Part of what we were watching for at those services was the return of the Lord, sharing with other believers around the world the longing to see Jesus. I want to ask you, is that your heart's desire? Do you say with your brothers and sisters in other places who are being horribly persecuted for their faith, Maranatha, come quickly, Jesus? Are you longing to see him? Or are you, in fact, thinking that it'd be nice if life could just go on a little while longer the way it is for you? Are you hoping maybe to get that new swimming pool this spring, now that you got your Christmas bonus? Are you hoping maybe that that vacation you have planned is going to come to pass? That's what you're looking forward to. Folks, there is nothing in this life, there is nothing on this planet that can compare with the glories and the joys that will be ours for all eternity when we see Jesus face to face. I hope that you enjoy the things in this life. It's good to give thanks to God for the blessings that are ours, for the freedoms that we enjoy, for whatever measure of health you may have. Whatever's going on, I hope you're giving God thanks for all of it, thanking him for your meal, thanking him for the opportunity to have the Bible in your own language. But whatever is going on, I want you to know, it can't compare with Jesus coming again. And I hope that you will, as the Bible tells us we should, look forward to that day, eagerly desiring that time when we will see him face to face. That will make everything else worth it. Don't get focused on the small stuff. The Bible tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's part of his will for us. And if you do that, you're going to have a great year. And that certainly is what I wish for you. Happy New Year. God bless you. Maranatha. Come quickly, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.